Welcome back into Bet on Chicago here on WLS 890 AM. And we have a special treat for you at the bottom of the first hour. Jeff Benson, the director of operations for Circa the D in Golden Gate and the head of all front of house operations for Circa Sports, joins us to talk about the upcoming NFL draft, which will happen next Thursday night at 7 o'clock Central Time. Jeff, thank you for taking a few moments on this Good Friday to join us.
Thanks for having me on, Mike. Obviously not in football season with the Super Bowl being over, but this gives everybody a little, appetite, a little teaser before we obviously get back into, camps, preseason games, all that kind of stuff. So, obviously with, how popular football is, the draft continues to grow. And, it's certainly something difficult, on our end in terms of booking it. But it's certainly something people like to bet on. And it's certainly something people like to follow, as we get to the middle of the summer and things like that. So certainly a lot of work ahead of us in the next week as we just hung draft openers yesterday on a lot of player position over unders. I believe we've got 21 guys up right now. But yeah, certainly looking forward to kind of talking through, where the early moves are, and obviously a little bit more into the bookmaking aspect of it as well.
Why is booking the draft such a challenge for bookmakers, Jeff?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think, ultimately at the end of the day, when you hang like an NFL game, you're pretty confident that you know what the price is. There's a lot of data out there. You have your power rankings. There's historical data, all of those kind of things. It's pretty hard to be 3, 6, 9, 12 points off. If the Eagles and the Chiefs are playing, you have a pretty good idea of what the point spread is going to be, what the total is going to be, and then obviously what the associated money line is going to be. When you are booking the draft, it's not an event that's played on the field. It's an event that's, played on Twitter, in podcasts, in mock drafts that are released. It's just a total information market. And that, information asymmetry doesn't necessarily fall on our end of things. You're going to get bettors who have ultimately better information than us. So, we go into it, we try to price things as best as we can. But, you could be 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 positions off on a lot of these guys. And the difficulty of booking it is, when you have an NFL game and you make a move, from -3 on a side to -4, you have a very good chance of writing money at +4. And then when you take bets at +4, maybe you go to 3.5 and you get into this kind of tight range where you see two-way action. With the draft, it's just a runaway freight train on one side. I mean, you could open a player position total, let's say 10.5, basically pick them, maybe, -120 on either side, something of that variety. You take one bet on the over, maybe you go to -150. And your goal then at that point is to, to see an under bet so that you get some resistance, you get some two-way. This stuff, you just don't see a ton of two-way. I mean, the next bet you could see is, 10.5 over -150. And then maybe the move is to go to $2. And then if you see another bet on the over, maybe the move is $3. This stuff can just get away from you so quick. And by the time you've taken an under bet, you may have taken an under bet at, +$4, +$5. I mean, so often with this stuff, you're just scalping yourself. And it's really hard to kind of find what the floor and the ceiling of some of these numbers are, particularly when you don't get two-way. So like I said, it's really, really hard to book from that perspective when most, if not every move you have, is scalping yourself. And then the price discovery process just changes. 2, 3, 4 days down the road, there's just new information. There's new mock drafts, there's new podcasts, there's new reports. Somebody's sliding because of their character. There's health concerns. There's going to be trades that take people out of certain ranges and things like that. So you're just constantly evaluating this stuff. And obviously, you know, the upside in terms of, you know, the revenue potential is very small, but you can certainly get carried out to this stuff pretty quickly.
It's also, I think, very interesting that, you know, let's say that the team that may be most likely to pick the player is drafting at sixth, which the Raiders, Genty, whatever. Let's use that as an example. So you set the number at 6.5. But if the Raiders don't take him, maybe it's not till 9 that somebody takes. So, right. So you just going to 7 doesn't make any difference. Some of these players, you have to move 3 spots.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's another thing that a lot of books struggle with. And it's a great point that you make. You know, a traditional move on an NFL point spread is not going to necessarily be the same thing when you're booking drafts. You know, when you look at 6.5 for Ashton Genty, I think a lot of the talk there is, you know, could he possibly go 4 to the Patriots? Could he possibly go 5 to the Jaguars? Obviously, a lot of his position, you know, total, you know, has to do with people thinking that the Raiders are possibly going to take him. But to your point, if the Raiders don't take him, you know, do teams in the 7, 8, 9 range, are they interested in a running back? Is running back a need for them? Do you see a team trading up into those spots? You know, obviously you have the Saints at 9. You know, are the Saints somebody who's in play for Genty? Obviously he's been linked, you know, multiple times to, you know, to Ben Johnson and the Bears at 10. So I think so much of how, you know, bookmakers go into this and they're thinking about what they want, you know, the price to be on a certain player. And then subsequently, if you take an over bet, what is your move? Is it just the juice or are you moving the positional total? A lot of that has to do with the subsequent teams around that draft position and ultimately what their needs are. I mean, like you said, you know, you could have 5 teams that don't need a running back after the Raiders. And so, you know, obviously it's an extreme example, but, you know, he could go from 6.5 to 9.5 if you saw a flurry of overbets. So, you know, that's what makes it so difficult. Obviously for us, we hung 21 player position over unders. So most of the guys that we hung, you know, are going to be in the first round. But, you know, Cam Scataboo, obviously another running back and somebody who's also very popular in terms of, you know, what he did this year. You know, we opened him 138.5. The first bet we took on him was over, and we moved it 12 positions to 150.5. The next bet we took was under. So we went back to 142.5, took another under bet, went to 135.5, took another under bet, went to 128.5, and then we saw some resistance. Took an over bet at 120.5. Then we saw some under money at 121.5. And it's just kind of, you know, trying to figure out those ranges. But what I was trying to get to in the Scataboo example is obviously with where we opened at 138.5, there's just so much fluctuation there in terms of, you know, when you look at our high, we were at 150.5, and you look at the low, it was, you know, 120.5. So, you know, 30 positions between those moves. So obviously the higher you get in terms of players, you know, outside of the first round, you know, the range that these guys can have is just all over the place, you know, which certainly opens you to middles. It certainly opens you to scalping yourself, you know, on the juice. It's just, like I said, it makes it so difficult to book. And when, you know, the stuff comes out that, oh, he could be a second round pick, you know, and this stuff moves, you know, 20, 30, 40 spots. It just puts the operator in such a difficult position.
Jeff, for the casual listener and better, the quarterbacks taken in first round is often a popular bet. And although we don't offer it, I wanted to get your opinion because you're well known to attack this market and really study. We do offer the individuals, obviously, and Cam Ward most likely will go number one. But Shedeur Sanders, we have over 8.5, moved a little from $380 to $4. And Jackson Dart, who might be the third quarterback taken, over 21.5, juiced from 130 to 150. If you had to make a bet on over under 2.5 quarterbacks in the first round, how would you play it?
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting one. Obviously, you know, Cam Ward's going one. You know, that's your first quarterback off the board. obviously Shador has drifted here. I don't think he goes top 10. I think the Saints probably go somewhere else other than quarterback. But I feel pretty confident that Shador will go in the first round. And then ultimately it comes down to what you think of, you know, Jackson Dart. You know, what do you think of Jalen Milroe? You know, do you think some of these teams, you know, in the top end of the second round could possibly trade into the late, you know, back half of round one to get, you know, ultimately to get their quarterback, you know, to get that fifth year option added on there and things like that. I would lean that we probably see only two quarterbacks go. I would be surprised if Dart or Milroe went. Obviously, I think Dart has a better chance of going than Milroe or, you know, any of those other guys. But I think with some of these past drafts, we've seen quarterbacks slide. I don't think the quarterback class this year is overwhelmingly good. Like I said, I think three is more likely than two, but I don't know that I would be laying $4 or something in that range on over 2.5 quarterbacks. I'd probably take the under if given the opportunity. But yeah, I think obviously a lot of this has to do also with, you know, do the Steelers take Dart? You know, there was talk about, you know, Aaron Rodgers going to the Steelers. That may or may not happen now. Talk of retirement, things like that. So, you know, I think obviously Dart's been kind of pegged to the Steelers at 21 for a while. So it'll be interesting to see how that materializes. But if I had to make a bet, I'd probably take under 2.5 quarterbacks.
That's Jeff Benson, everyone. Jeff, thanks for the time. Director of Operations at Circa and Circa Sports. When we come back after the break, we'll talk to Jonathan Von Tobel about the NBA playoffs and all the first round matchups. It's Bet on Chicago, WLS 890 AM.